Hello, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to Life Autistic. This is episode number 641. Oh, okay. I gotta get this thing in gear. I gotta get going here. Back on the road. Duro! The biggest city in our region. It really is. And when some one or two people try to do it, it becomes a farce. It becomes a fiasco. At least for me. I really, I don't know if it's a noble thing, so I don't want people accusing me of trying to be all noble about this, because I don't know if it's noble or not. But, we were just talking about this, about starting things that just aren't, that aren't going to happen. And of course, we come from a society, a culture, that is all about persevering and pushing through and going up against the odds and stuff like that. And I'm not that type. And, you know, so it's like, well, you need to become that type because that's what it takes to get things done. And you go, well, you know what? There's a lot of things that just don't need to get done. Things that aren't that important. I mean, they're wonderful things. I'm not trashing Boy Scouts or anything like that. When it's done well, it's fantastic. What I do know is if it's not done well, if the wrong people are involved with it, if, you know, all those things, if those things aren't in place, you shouldn't even try. Because even under the most wonderful of for interesting stuff to do. Anyway, so, you know, people say, let's just make scouts. You go, please, give me a break. I like scouts fine. I enjoyed scouts up until the time when, you know, when people started getting weird about stuff that didn't really matter to me anymore. Everybody said, come get your eagle, Jay, get your eagle. You gotta hurry, get your eagle, come on! And it's like, you know what, shut up. And I did, I dropped out completely. It was like, nope, I have no interest in this. Nope. The only thing I went on after that was a couple of backpacking trips, because I really enjoyed backpacking. Still do. Still enjoy backpacking. When I can get around to it. It's trickier because I got little kids. You know, I've got my sons, my 8-year-old guys, and we go, they've gone backpacking with them. We're going to do it this year, too. But, you know, it ends up being hard. I don't want to make this the scouting thing. It needs to be broader than that, as usual. I brought this up before. It's been a few episodes, quite a few actually, probably about 30, since I talked about this. So it might be right time to talk about it again. Hopefully I'm not a broken record on it. I think this may have something to do with child fairness, too. You know, we're so desperate, you know. Oh, we want our kids to have every little experience they can. You know, and so you'll send your kid to 50 different things, fill up their lives with music lessons, art lessons, team sports, scouts, and just everything that you can get them involved with, because you don't want them to miss out on something. And that's kind of a corollary to, I don't know if a corollary. It's kind of aligned with the whole idea of child-centeredness. It's almost kind of a schizophrenic way of looking at it. I think about and worry about my child all the time, but, you know, it stresses me out so much that I want to push that off to other people. You know, you end up having distant parents with busy kids, and the parents get, in some ways they're frustrated because they feel like just a chauffeur, they're just shuffling them around and paying for this and this and this and this for all these activities, and that's all they ever feel like is a big money lender, a money giver, and a ride provider, and, you know, and you start, but on the other hand, we also kind of get this just huge separation from our kids, you know. We can't go on vacation because that will get in the way of Little League and you know, this, that, and the other thing. They just got accepted to go and be in a play. And there's been a lot of groups that have been talking about the fact that we just over plan our kids' lives, you know, and we plan them right out of our lives. It's like, oh, I need just to get away from this. There's just too much going on. And you're going, yeah, you're planning too much for everybody, but yet you're so shot from getting them around that you don't ever offer much of yourself. You just end up being the funding source. You end up being the sponsor of all their activities, but never really being their parent. It's the same thing about being child-centered. That was one of the things I came down to, because I saw their parents around me getting really it all became about doing what the kids wanted to do. Kids often don't know what they want to do. If you throw something at, I noticed this especially with my twins, they're really impressionable. If you put something in their head, they're like, oh yeah, go. The big trick to that, for me, has been that I try to get them interested in, now, and I'm not saying I do a good job at all. Sam was wanting to play with computers like he saw me do, and I did a crappy job. I could have done a lot better. But, but I blew it. It doesn't mean I can't come back to it. Probably can. I'll have to maybe approach it differently for the simple reason that if we just say, well, we're going to set up a computer for you, it's got kind of a bad taste in his mouth because I didn't do such a hot job last time. But on the hiking, I did better, you know. I enjoy hiking. So that's the first thing you have to do. You have to understand, number one, this has little to do with your child's interests. Your child doesn't really have any interests until they're typically older. And I mean older. 14, 16. Those are the times when they start saying, Dad, you know, I don't want to go hiking with you anymore. You know, I think I started with my older kids too late. That's because I didn't know. You know, I was doing what society, I was basically being resistant to what society was saying and not enough saying, what should I do? What should I do about this? Hopefully I'm getting a little bit better soon. Oh, here's a Penske truck. I'm going to have a Penske truck soon because I got to bring some whole bunch of stuff back from Utah. Anyway, so So I started going hiking with my kids. And of course the kids get all excited because there's something to do. Woohoo! There's something to look forward to and plan for. And the kids are all excited. In fact, we don't do it often enough, and I don't think we do it quickly enough for them. Of course, they're the kind of guys that they just want to drop everything and go right then. Let's just go, Dad. Let's just... So I think if I were to do a good job, I would just say, hey, you know, let's just always have our backpacks ready and always have some food in the freezer, some freeze-dried stuff ready to go. Pull it out of the freezer and say, you know what, guys, let's go. Let's go. I'm going to take a day off on a Friday, and Thursday night we're going to go up somewhere and we're going to hike, and then, you know, and then we'll come back later. We'll come back later when the time is right. Is this thing working okay? Okay. I can't tell sometimes. Let me check and see if I got the right thing going here. I don't want to... Where's my mouse? Sometimes it gets hooked to the little microphone. No, it's okay. All right. I'm going to end up pressing that button, putting the thing on silence. Okay! So I take the kids up there because that's an interest of mine. And, you know, I found that you really don't have to do much to get your kids interested. I also have a great feeling that God kind of tries to match us up with people. Kids don't get, I just have to keep thinking that kids don't get angry at us and rebel against us because we're a bad match, you know. I don't think that's true, particularly. Maybe in a few rare occasions, you just might have a kid that's just so totally incompatible with you that they're just going to hate you, you know, from birth, and will leave home gladly someday and never return and never talk to you again. That's pretty rare, though. It's much more important to go and do things and do the things you want to do. Be involved in the things you want to be involved in. Don't get sucked into what's important for everybody else, because if it's something that piques your interest and you think is cool, it's a lot easier to suck your kids into it. That's another thing about being child-centered. Don't be worried about what the child's interests are. It's about your interests. Because and this is the magic. This is the magic touch to the whole concept of not being child-centered as a parent, as an adult. Because you want them to look forward to being an adult. You don't want them to have a beautiful, pristine, magnificent, I got everything I ever wanted in life when I was 10 years old kind of life. You don't want them to have that. for the simple reason that you have to give them something to look forward to. You know, if child life was blissful and they got everything they could ever want, plus more, plus money, plus all the catering that present society wants parents to do for their kids, why would they ever want to grow up? Why would they ever want that to end? In fact, they would work hard to make you feel guilty about not giving them that forever. Don't get rid of my room. I want to be able to come home to my room. It's like, no, your room is gone. That's the thing I told Shayna. Not only is her room going away, her brothers, her three youngest brothers are moving into what used to be her room. Her sister is moving into their room because it's smaller and she's all by herself. And you go, man, that's reality. She doesn't have a room to come back to. You know, when she comes home for a visit, she'll either have a pull-out bed under somebody else's bed, or she'll sleep on the couch or something. I don't know. Interesting, you know. But see, that's the difference. You want them to get excited about the future. I always tell my kids, I'm sorry, I love you guys, but I love your mom more. You know, and I kiss Lisa, we have fun in front of them. You know, we obviously are in love with each other, Lisa and I. And, you know, right there in front of the kids. I mean, we're not being intimate in front of them, please. But we have a good time. And I want my kids to see that and know that because I want them to look forward to the time when they have somebody like that. I want them to have that wonderful experience and saying, hey, you know, I want to get there. We have too many people that are so excited about being single and about being able to do things their, you know, about doing things their way. Of course, that kind of comes with the whole issue of, well, you know, the fact that marriage has gone completely on us because we're just a bunch of selfish clods. You don't want to do that. You know, I tell my kids, I said, man, the most fulfilling parts of my life come from being married to your mom. From us being a part of each other's lives and being the most important thing in each other's lives. Because let me just give you the cold reality of it. If you're not sick and twisted, your kids will leave home. They will go away. And if your whole life, as a parent, isn't totally invested in your kids, and, oh, my kids are the most important thing, I just love my kids. And what's going to be a horrible separation, number two, this is where empty nest problems come from. You know, you've invested so much in your kids, and that's where all of your work and all your love and all your hate and all your everything went into. You'll wake up one day, your kids will be gone, you'll look at that husband or wife that you grew up with, and you say, you know, I haven't even talked to you in ages. I'm not even sure I like you. And it's like, guys, see, that's terrible. And, of course, they're always intervening in their kids' lives, whether the kids want them to or not. The kids practically have to tell their parents to get lost. And you get all these poor, you can always picture the poor mothers who say, my kids don't love me. Because they just want to continue to mother their kids. See, as we do this child-centeredness, it creates all these huge, monumental problems. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't be child-centered. You married somebody. That's the prime relationship. You need to let your kids know that that's true. My husband, my wife, that's my prime relationship. That's what it's all about. And that you're helping these kids get to the point to where they can do that. It all of a sudden frames everything in their lives. Kids grow up. Kids become responsible because responsible kids get good spouses. Right? And you got to have fun too, if you win. But, you know, you have to do that too. All of a sudden everything works out. All from not being so child-centered. Don't Don't on your kids. Don't do it. Praise them when they do something good. But, you know, don't spoil your kids. Don't, you know, everybody's always worried about you're not doing enough for your kids. You know, your kids are going to... It's like, man, the worst thing to do is to dote on them. Don't do it. Let them know that they're constantly in second place. Let them know that all the time. In the family. Let them know that they are the children and that they are preparing to leave and go out into the world. And that the relationship they have with their mother and their father is not the preeminent one. I don't want to say that because, boy, you know, people are going to say, boy, Jay doesn't love his kids. And you go, I love my kids, but I don't love my kids. That's where you get some of that strange crap, too. Is from all this stuff about being child-centered. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't encourage it in anybody. And certainly don't be doing that in front of children. Because they'll start taking advantage of it. And what they turn into ultimately are manipulative people who seek only for themselves. Does that make them good husbands and wives? Does that make them good fathers and mothers? No, it certainly doesn't. But that's what our culture is almost demanding us to create. Mostly because, you know, people who are very selfish and who have always had everything they've always wanted, they tend to go out and when they go into the workforce, they tend to spend their money all on themselves, impulse buying. If they see something on TV they like, they just kind of go after it because they've got the money. And they're pretty self-centered. And, you know, and our economy loves those kinds of people. People who just go out and do that kind of thing. But that's counterproductive. It's counterproductive to everything good. Everything that's good says, don't be so child-centered. Now, I've heard people talk about some of the issues around this, but never anybody to go straight to the heart. Just go straight to the jugular and say, this is the real problem. Your child is the center of your life. Your child is the center, you know. Your child knows that they're number one. Your child knows that if push came to shove and there was a conflict and it was either between a couple, you know, if it's you, it's between your, like say in my situation, your wife and your children. Our culture teaches that you're supposed to tell your wife to piss off and that you're going to support your kids for the children. I'm sorry. When you put the children up on a pedestal, you destroy them. You destroy them. They will never be what they could have been if you do that. By golly, your kids need to know they're always going to be in second place. That the most important person in your life is, in my case, my wife. Lisa's the most important person in my life. God, Jesus Christ, Lisa Jane, Tom Clay, Nemro. That's the big three. And I love my children, but you know how I love them? I constantly have them looking forward. I constantly talk about the wonderful time when they're going to go and they're going to get married to a wonderful person that they can give their whole hearts to. Because I don't expect them to do that to me. I don't want them to do that. I want them to give their heart to that husband. or that wife that they're going to have someday. That's what it's all about. I want them to have the experience I had. Fatherhood. Well, parenthood. Family. And then growing old with your best friend. Your best friend. The person that you give up everything for. Anyway, okay, so I think that's about all I have to say on this particular subject, I guess. Started out with scouting, ended up talking about child centeredness because I saw that as being what happened. I see it happening all the time when it comes to scouting. You know, well, there's kids, we've got to do what, and we've got to do these things for the kids. And you go, no, you don't. No, you don't. It says we need to stop burning out adults. Because burnout adults make crappy leaders, make crappy parents. And you don't do that. You don't do that. Because then, I'm sorry, you're a crappy leader, you're a crappy parent, you're a crappy human being. And that does not mean, you know, you can't waste yourself and like give all of the great virtue that all of a sudden you can't pull off anymore because you're just too tired and you're just too fried. You can't give all that the good virtue you could have had to your children that way. It can only be transmitted by you taking care of yourself and being that amazing person that you need to be. Then all of a sudden you have that capability. You can share that with your kids. Not that you're losing a bit of it. You know, this isn't so much about sacrifice as it is about having, about giving of your surplus. Now, sometimes we have to sacrifice. I'm not saying that at all. But that's a bad thing. It says, but if you feel like that that's what life is composed of, and that's what being a parent demands of you, is that you practically wither and die, you know, you get down on your hands and knees and become the stepping stone for your child, it won't happen. It won't happen. Because your child will see you down there groveling. And number one, they won't respect you. Number two, you know, they don't want to be you. And so, you know, they're likely to do all kinds of weird things. Whoever's out there that's got some excess in their offering, gangs, evil people, they're going to get your kids. They're going to be the influence in your kids' life. And who wants that? Who wants that? Wasn't that the point of having children? Was that you were going to raise them? That you were going to be the prime influence in their lives? While they're young? Helps them get a good start? But then know that they're going to go on and you won't be such an active, vital influence in their lives? I mean, you know that, don't you? That's the way it's supposed to be. But how many times does our own society turn against us as if to say, this is wrong, you shouldn't do this, you know, you're wrong, don't do that. Anyway, this is Jay Nemro. Let's go for the good stuff. Get your kids to join you in what you enjoy doing, especially when they're little, because they'll get sucked into it. Now it won't mean that they'll want to do it for the rest of whatever. I've got a 14-year-old daughter. She went up backpacking with me, and she said, "Dad, I don't want to go do that anymore." I'm like, okay. We'll find something else to do. You know, I really don't know what floats her boat. And you know what? That really doesn't matter. If she wants to spend time with me, I think she does, she'll approach me where I am. But that's only when she wants to do that. You know? It's not like us, you know, too many times parents become the beggars, right? Oh, please, let me have a little time with you. What do we need to do? And you end up trying to be their buddy, you know. Well, what do you want to do? I'm here to serve you. You know, you end up being your kid's kind of weird butler/servant. I don't know what to do. What do you want to do? I don't know what to do. You know, what do you want to do? And it's like, oh, geez. You just come up with what you want to do and try, and you work to include your kids in what you enjoy and what you find fun. Because if you can't pull that together, you know, you have nothing to offer your kids. Don't ask them what they want. Not very often. And I mean don't, not as a life pursuit. Because that sets up a bad feedback loop, you know. You are the leader of your home. You and your wife, my wife, we're the leaders of our home. And that means the way things are in our house, the way we want them to be. And we always said that, you know. When Shane would come, you go, well, I don't like that. I don't think you should be doing it that way. He's like, excuse me? Who are you? Who are you? Well, I'm your daughter. So? This is not your house. When you get off on your own, see, this is encouragement to go off on your own someday. When you're off on your own, you can run your house however you want to. You can plan your life however you please. But while you're here, things in this house are going to go the way your mom and I want them to go. We're setting up our circumstances the way we like them. Because this is our time. This is our time to do that. This is the time for kids to know that they're not number one. They'll be number one at some point in the future when they get out on their own. Then they can be number one. Then they'll find out that that's kind of a vacuous thing, and that you feel so much better when you have a spouse. We're not built that way. We really are. It takes a lot of good quality effort to kill off that desire in people. But we do a fine job between school and society and the sick way we end up raising our kids. Don't follow what society is telling you. They're wrong. They're so monumentally wrong, it's almost sick. In fact, I can almost guarantee that anytime you see what society is telling you to do, do the opposite and it'll go better. I can almost guarantee that that's true. I've always found that that's a better way to lead life. Is to not just ignore society, but go the other direction. It'll go better. Anyway, okay. I think I've talked a little bit enough on this subject. This is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 641. Where's my mouse pointer? There it is. And if you want to contact me, the email address is autism, AUTISM, at quicks.us. Love to hear your comments. Love to hear just your words of support or words of derision. It doesn't matter. Throw it at me. It's cool. I can handle it. Let me go ahead and give you the phone number. You can feel free to call. See, people are always amazed. Okay. Don't you get a lot of freaky people calling you on the phone, Jay? No, I really don't. I get the occasional phone call, but not much. For publishing my phone number, for putting it on my website, for putting it on my podcast, you know, phone doesn't ring that much. The phone number is country code 1, area code 575. 461, that's my exchange, 2716. And I guess that's about it. Put your marriage first. Let your kids know your marriage is number one and that they're number two. Your spouse is number one and they're number two. And a lot of the weirdness will just start to fall away. Look after your spouse. Look after their needs. Make sure they don't get burned out. And don't let society's weirdness about making sure your kids have everything get in the way of you getting burned out. Because that's what happens every time. That's where this kind of started. I got burned out on scouting when I became the sole scouter. And everybody's getting really demanding about what needed to be done. And I told them, sorry, it's not important enough. I'm not going to do it. Everybody got really upset. That's life. Sorry. Some things were more important. My kids know that they're not the center of the universe. It's an important thing to know. When you start teaching people they're the center of the universe, you start getting problems. You know, because it's not true. And when you teach somebody something that's patently untrue, you know, bad things will happen. Sorry, just reality. Number two. Be happy with number two until you can be number one in somebody's life. And that's when you marry them. And when you dedicate your life to them and they dedicate their life to you, and you're going to be with that person forever. Forever. I don't have to fret divorce. It doesn't come up very often. Because we don't let things get between us. We don't let our kids get between us. We don't let anything get between us. And if we see the other person hurting, it becomes our problem to solve that. It becomes our problem. Anyways, Jane Emerald, maybe I'll talk some more about the marriage relationship next podcast. We'll find out. This is Jane Emerald. You're listening to Life Autistic. This is episode number 641. Have a great day.